Volcanic eruptions that disrupted air travel over Europe last week are decreasing. Authorities in Iceland said today the eruptions are unlikely to cause further problems. But all is not settled, either for European airlines or for those travelers who are still stranded. Simon Calder knows the feeling. He was stranded in Scandinavia when his flight home was canceled. He also just happens to be the travel editor for the Independent newspaper of London. Simon Calder made it back home eventually, but not all of his compatriots have.
There are still several thousand British travellers stranded in Florida. That is probably the biggest concentration of stranded travellers that there is. But I must say, there's many worse places to be stranded than Orlando. And indeed, some of the tourist attractions there are offering free admissions to British travellers.
So, Simon, over 100,000 flights were grounded because of the volcanic ash cloud, and this hit airlines hard, and you'd think they'd pass that on to travellers, but my producer just told me she booked a flight last Friday for this coming Sunday, just a little over a week out, and got a return flight Boston to London for $650. So what does this profit loss for airlines really mean for prices for travellers?
In the short term, absolutely, your producer is going to be in the happy position of many, many other travellers. Europe's biggest low-cost airline, Ryanair of Ireland, has been having for some days now, ever since the flights resumed, a promotion where the fare is a flat $5. That's for a one-way flight, $5, pretty much anywhere. I've been making lots of test bookings on this, and that shows you how keen they are to get people flying again.
Where can you go with Ryanair for $5?
For example, you can fly from London to Oslo, the capital of Norway. And those, not quite those bargain basement fares, but similarly low fares, are being applied to get people traveling again, because during this whole shutdown, of course, new bookings were very hard to come by, because who would take the risk that this wasn't going to turn into a shutdown lasting weeks or even months?
But in the long term, we'll see those prices climb up.
Well, I think in the longer term, we will see an awful lot of lawyers getting involved in this. Already within the United Kingdom, we are seeing concessions from the authorities that perhaps this was something of an overreaction to shut the airspace. We are getting reports that even the experts are conceding that there were almost undetectable concentrations of volcanic ash. And we have been looking very much in Europe as a whole at the American model, which seems to be far more pragmatic, which is that you provide the airlines with the information about where there may be concentrations of volcanic dust, and they decide their approach, whether they want to fly around the problem, whether they want to ground their aircraft, as opposed to the dogmatic approach where the United Kingdom pretty much just said, we are closed for business. And the airlines are most certainly going to be instructing their lawyers to seek what recompense they feel is due to them for what I think they will regard as an unwarranted interference with their business.
And speaking of which, Simon, as we mentioned earlier, you too were stranded by the airline shutdown. Remind us how you got home.
I happened to be on vacation in Norway at the time, and I took the decision to get one of the last three berths on the last ship out of Norway. It took two nights and a full day, completely out of contact with the rest of the world. And I must say, I was petrified at first, because of course we get so used to 24-hour contact. By the end of the voyage, I just thought, this is the way to travel.
Simon Calder, travel editor for the Independent newspaper of London. Thanks for your time, Simon.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you.